Chapter 20, Cold Boot War. The year 2023 started in complete serenity as I played dead, like a patient feline at a summer lake. The FSF was also silent as I experienced several months of total peace. I stated openly, multiple times on multiple weeks, that the FSF had given up in disgrace. I articulated at length, gloating about the fact that the FSF were cowards, and that I could relax. I expressed great arrogance, knowing that they were watching. It was normal for their staff and fans to join my chat room, and I was baiting them heavily. They needed to be as relaxed and self-confident as possible, and to assume that I was in my worst possible mental states, before they would proceed. I made it look as if I had no idea what was going on, and I made Libra Boot look weak by temporarily withholding new work until March, when their Libra Planet conference was. I expected the FSF to announce their own version of Libra Boot during Libra Planet 2023, but I couldn't be sure. I decided to chance it. I did a release 4 hours before their conference began, and my gamble paid immediate dividends. Yeah, there was one person there that was doing a talk titled Seizing the Means of Free Software Production or something like that, and I knew that the person doing that talk was going to announce a Libra Boot fork in that talk. Wasn't announced anywhere, it wasn't described anywhere, but it was announced, and I was right. They did announce, as I said, they announced their own projects. To my surprise, they used the same name, Libra Boots. This would have been disastrous given their resources, and it could have gained huge momentum. Instead, the momentum of my own release that day derailed their launch. News websites covered my release instead, and barely mentions the FSF at all. They would go on to do essentially no development work at all. They needed a bunch of people to quickly join it, inspired by their announcement that I had just trashed. When I saw their actual announcement, I felt a calmness, but my heart also sank. I knew in my mind then that I might lose everything, and I just sank. But I felt so, like, it was like a calm rush. I knew in advance who the FSF would most likely choose to lead their new project. As there were two people who had worked under me before in Libra Boots, and they told me themselves that they were unhappy with Libra Boots' policy change. I put two and two together. They regarded OS Boots as proprietary software. I avoided anger on that day because I feared controversy. My strategy was to keep quiet as much as possible and just drown them with my own release, just absolutely ignore them in every possible way. My intention was to simply derail their launch and ensure that they did not gain recognition. Adding fuel to the fire would only be foolish, so I went so far as to even instruct my colleagues in the Libra Boot chat room to stay quiet, which they did. What surprised me was that the FSF had not actually performed any work themselves. I theorized that they relied on the momentum of their own launch to attract immediately more developers, just as I had done from my own launch of Libra Boot in 2013. My own counter-coup had obviously thwarted any such ambition, at least for now. Although the FSF is a multi-million dollar organization, it was notoriously difficult to receive funding from them on actual software. Most of the FSF's money was spent on publicity and outreach, plus staff. Yet the FSF was also the chief financial sponsor of the GNU project. In practice, then, the FSF-aligned projects still needed their own resources. The FSF also did not promote their own new LibraVoot projects directly, which further contributed to my suspicion. Simply speaking, they wanted quiet momentum. They wanted to catch me by surprise. The idea then would have been that development would continue on their own infrastructure as I myself spiraled out of control. They expected me to just go on an angry rant like I may have done in the past. And then they just continue, as though nothing changed. Retroactive continuity is what they call this. In other words, I had effected my own counter-coup to their coup. I did exactly the same thing they were trying to do to me, more effectively. The day ended without incidents. Further contributing to my suspicions was the fact that their project was hosted on third-party infrastructure via Source Huts. Source Huts provides infrastructure for free software projects, but it's not affiliated with the FSF, and its leader has even been quite critical about the FSF many times in the past, specifically about their leadership style, although the person in question generally supports the idea of free software. The idea then would be that the FSF's own effort might appear more grassroots. This is called astroturfing. I knew that the owner of Source Hut I knew the owner of SourceApp personally, and I simply asked him to just delete the FSF new projects, which he did. 3 weeks passed after he'd given them a chance to rename their projects lest they be deleted, likely self-protection on his part, the illusion of procedure, because there was no policy against hostile forks. But as I said, I asked nicely. I told him something true that only I knew then as well, which I will not get into in this book. To ensure that the FSF would not move to another provider, I also registered the name LibreBoots on every other known public free software hosting provider. By doing this, the FSF would then have no choice but to use their own infrastructure, which would reveal their ruse. This is true because most hosting providers are just proprietary in general. The FSF's tendency would be to just host it themselves. This may sound far-fetched, but the FSF has been known to use such tactics in the past. When SourceArts deleted the FSF's projects, it also meant that their LibreBoot website went offline because they were hosting the website itself on SourceArts. To rub salt in the wound, I intentionally did yet another LibreBoot release that same day. It was so bold that even the wife of one of the FSF's senior staff liked my post as I denounced it on my social media accounts. She found it funny. The purge was well in hand. This is how you fight a multi-million-dollar organization with only £10 to your name. Their dream was to destroy me, and that's what I punish, dreams. I want to control the truth, and they wanted to prevent that. I never stopped. LibreBoot development would continue relentlessly for the next few years, rapidly rewriting and making more efficient the entire codebase. It was manic. The FSF's effort was dead in the water, but I kept pretending like they were a mortal threat, so that they wouldn't be. I made sure to strengthen the LibreBoot projects relentlessly for the next 2 years in ways that ensured they could not compete. The FSF just simply gave up. They did revive their website, but its developers gave up. They just lost their nerve. At least temporarily. I suspected that they may try again. Summer 2023 began with a Wikipedia editing war. Several FSF staffers and volunteers tried to make the LibreBoot Wikipedia page link to their own projects instead of mine. I wasn't directly involved, as I'm not allowed to edit the LibreBoot article. Neither were they, actually, because they were technically parts of LibreBoot themselves. Anyway, I did object to their proposal for the article to be deleted. I was generally involved in discussions, which was allowed, during the controversy. It went to the General Administrative Notice Board twice. The individual in charge of the apparent coup on the article had been trolling other Wikipedia articles, pushing out other editors, on a variety of spurious charges, throwing the book at them, although they'd been disciplined several times by Wikipedia administrators at that time. I exploited this fact, eventually getting them banned. The FSF had already set up infrastructure for a new attempt at replacing LibreBoots, this time called GNUBoots, a name that I myself had suggested because I knew that it would not perform well on Google search. I sold it to them with the following catchphrase: restricted boots, try GNUBoots. They initially resisted, regarding themselves as the real LibreBoots, but my aggression had deterred any further attempts on their part. They renamed, at my behest. Several of my LibreBoot colleagues had also pressured them. The Wikipedia editing war was a distraction because they wanted to catch me off guard with GNUBoots. They did not know that I knew that they were setting it up. I'd been monitoring them closely for months. I mean, what else do you expect? I befriended several Wikipedia admins and simply asked them to enforce the rules. This was important because even though they were breaking the rules, these people, rules still have to be enforced. The attacks on LibreBoot's Wikipedia article violated Wikipedia's rules, notably the notoriety guidelines, but several others as well. Hostile editing, for example. But rules have to be enforced. The hostile editors relied on overwhelming other editors so that they would just let it happen. In other words, they required me to be negligent. I got them all banned globally from editing Wikipedia articles. Round two. The FSF still didn't have enough developers. The two people that they put in charge actually had no work done on their fork of the projects, and they needed a lot of help from other people to get the projects off the ground. This time, I wrote a scathing article directly attacking them on the LibreBoot website. My article repeatedly argued that their projects was unsustainable, and I gave several technical reasons to demonstrate that, while I continued pushing my own releases aggressively. Despite having a lot less money than the FSF, I had the right people, and together we outcompeted them on a largely technical level. Mere technical superiority, though, is not enough. My article went into depth about all of their publicly stated development goals, attacking each of them as unviable. However, the rules of such conflicts are the same as that of a national election campaign, maybe less grandiose, much smaller in scale, and nonetheless treated it like one, as though I would be imprisoned or put to death if I did not win the election. That's how I treated it mentally. I treated it like my life was on the line, because it was. I did not hold back, but I remained professional. I only criticised on technical grounds, yes. I also released an unofficial GNU boot of my own during this time as a proof of concept to help them. This was to exploit the fact that they themselves had failed to do any work. My own release was technically superior to theirs in every way. This was bait, and it worked. They emailed me a cease and desist letter on trademark grounds, and I of course backed down, publishing a screenshot of said email. I mean, it was just them saying, please stop, but... A popular YouTuber picked up on the chaos and covered it. I appeared immediately on the front page of several news websites and forums. Through my actions, I had triggered the FSF to say and do things against itself, making the FSF look extremely incompetent. I attacked them in their weakest state, that I had made efforts to engineer regardless of whether I succeeded. Nearly everyone took my side and started taking the absolute piss out of the FSF, citing them as completely incompetent and petty. The FSF's reputation just tanked at this time. The FSF themselves were quiet. I kept marketing it as the FSF and GNU Project attacking Libreboot to make them look more powerful. In reality, it was just two blokes attacking me who had no money whatsoever and no real infrastructure. They were using the GNU infrastructure, which was quite old at that point. Being part of GNU weakens them, precisely because the GNU and FSF organizations already had a poor reputation in the wider free software movement, especially due to some of the previous Richard Stallman controversies. And there was a general perception amongst the public that they're just too dogmatic and essentially a cult. Nobody wanted to listen to the FSF, so they didn't listen to GNU boots either. I was, in a way, Goliath dressed like David. If Goliath had 10 British pounds and David had $3 million. The other main problem was democracy, and specifically that the GNU project claims to have it. In reality, they were hypocrites, as they too did what they wanted, but they did have a much more openly collaborative development style. They preferred to work more extensively with upstream projects, merging their changes into them and not carrying too many of their own customizations. Their logic was that this would enable easier maintenance, but the problem is that this also introduced external maintenance burdens and dependencies, something which I argued relentlessly at the time, and I warned them. Meanwhile, I just did whatever I wanted in Libreboot at all times, on my own whim. It just so happens that I also took actions with the interest of the community in mind, and I knew how to delegate as necessary, as always. I simply led my projects more efficiently than they did theirs. I, too, also work with external projects, but only when it's practical. Otherwise operated from the principle that Libreboot comes first, because it does. It's the logical first principle, and my dictator status in the project enabled fast decision-making. You know, what I say goes. It's not like I'm, like, you know, hostile or anything. I just know what I'm doing. My own madness was part of the equation. It was controlled. Nothing like what I was in 2016. The FSF, though, they knew from past experience just how destabilizing I could be and how unstable I personally could be. They were relying on their old memory from 2016. I played on that because they assumed that I'd act the same again. They did not expect me to act with such calm, measured performance. So the FSF, their whole strategy was just that they played it safe, you know, and they lost. Enter the GNU Boot Project. GNU is in kayak. C-A-N-O-E. GNU Boot. It sounds exactly like GNU Boot, which is exactly the point. This was my other strategy after denouncing them, calling them incompetent. I launched my own project, GNU Boot, in October 2023. It mirrors Libreboot at all times, but strips out all of the changes that would not comply with the FSF's policies. It maintains tightly in sync at all times, and became the number one choice of boot firmware for both FSF fans and staff alike. Several members of the FSF community started bad-mouthing me on various forums, and this I reveled in, because I knew I needed to win them over. This is precisely why I created GNU Boot, and it's why I continued posting positively on all of their forums. I knew that if I had their support, then the FSF could never challenge me again. My goal was to make it so that GNU Boot seems like the only logical choice of free boot firmware in that community. This strategy worked, to the extent that the FSF began assisting it directly, even promoting it for me. Just like an election campaign, it doesn't matter what your opponent says about you. What you need to do is go after their followers instead. There's nothing sinister about any of it. I simply provided high-quality software that their community then could use and could contribute to. I just want to make something clear. The FSF themselves did not contribute to Canoe Boots. Their fans did. I personally saw the FSF use a Canoe Boot laptop in their machine learning talk at FOSDEM 2025. Canoe Boot heavily promotes LibreBoots in its documentation, and it intentionally avoids linking to any of the FSF's materials. It avoids even mentioning the FSF or the GNU project. It does this while teaching the GNU free software ideology, replicating it perfectly, but intentionally fails to defend it or convince the user that such ideology even matters at all. It does just enough to satisfy FSF fans so that the FSF cannot attack it, while also not helping the FSF in any way. Throughout, I was playing constant mind games with the GNU Boot developers. Every member of the GNU Advisory Committee, all of the FSF staff, various communities, and more, befriending some of them along the way. I already had good friendships with many. I could be quite aggressive with some of them. I didn't just show the world how incompetent they were, or how futile their project was. I relentlessly pressed the point home to all of the people inside. My goal was to make them internalize their own loss, that regardless of how viable or unviable their plans actually were, I made them feel like it was all hopeless. It was not just me either. A lot of my supporters would talk to them as well. You know, they weren't just against me. They were against my community, because I had my own, like, huge community at that point. I built an entire movement that they no longer controlled. My own political constituency, if you will. I simply had more people. And this included some of the most highly competent corporate developers. I had some of the best engineers in the world working with me. Several corporate developers were directly parts of the LibreBoot project. I used my own resources more effectively. I used my own people better. I also worked hard. I worked relentlessly on LibreBoot throughout. The moral of the story is that they basically compelled me to just do more of my job more thoroughly. Their original intent was to have me quit the LibreBoot projects and cede ground. You know, again, they thought I'd just completely spiral out. I called their bluff, and I watched them blink. I did the exact opposite of what they wanted me to do. You know, if GNU Boot, let me put it this way, if GNU Boot were a human being, I would have been charged with stalking. Like, no one though. Like, the FSF project, like, it still exists, nominally. They never managed to really make a stable release. They never really got off the ground. They've done a few, like, really lackluster beta releases. The Cold Boot War ended in February 2025 when the FSF's executive director directly asked one day. She just suddenly had an epiphany and had the courage to ask, in so many words, "What do you want?" I told her I want respect. I want to be respected by the FSF. I want them to praise my name for the work that I do that they use every day. I wanted an assurance from them that they would credit the work and not try to attack it. This time, after 2 years of pointless conflicts, they did what they should have done years ago, in 2020. They started this war in 2029 when Richard Stallman contacted the LibreBoot committee about releases without my knowledge. He was asking when the next release was, and there was a whole thread. The war existed only in their minds then, but it did exist. They imagined a world without me. They didn't need to say it. All they had to do was imagine a world without me. It lived on in my mind for 5 years, and it ended with an agreement. I mean, it was all a load of nonsense. It was just a load of shit. You know, my colleagues told me at the time, when in the thick of it. Like, one of my friends joked, he said, if you weren't a software developer, you'd be a serial killer. Because, like, I was just manic the whole time. You know, I was just, like, at their throats for 2 years. I kept my freedom. Freedom in this context means that I get to define what LibreBoot is. And I'm free to govern it how I wish. I have the freedom to control the truth without their permission. I am the Senate, I thought. But then I decided to just relax and be extremely nice to everyone. I am the Senate. No one ever talks about when the dictator is being nice. Most of the time I just can't be bothered. Once, if you stop challenging me, like I'll just relax. If you challenge me, I will think about you and nothing else until your challenge has been removed. If you leave me alone, I relax. It's as simple as that. I prefer to work with people, You know, I make a habit of surrounding myself with the most highly intelligent people in the world when I can. It would be better if the whole, it would have been better if the whole conflict's just like never started. I met the GNU Boot projects, I met the GNU Boot developers at the German software conference, the Chaos Communication Congress in Hamburg during December 2025. They're nice blokes, you know, we had a laugh. I put one of their GNU Boot stickers on my laptop, which they found funny. This was no joke though. My anger existed since I was a child, and only learned to properly control it in my late 20s. It used to get me in a lot of trouble. I'd become angry a lot, and I'd try to control people in ways that I now know are illusory. This occurred even under the guise of help, like when my trans chat room started, for example. I'd just tell people what to do, and I'd get really angry when they just didn't do it, you know, or when I didn't get what I wanted. I learned, like when I was younger, to use psychological violence as intimidation. Wasn't even conscious most of the time, you know, it just seemed involuntary in retrospect. There was no sense telling me to calm down, you know, when I got really triggered, as it just, you just make me worse. Like, if you told me to calm down back then, I'd be like, fuck you, now I'm going to get even angrier. Like, you would then become my target for violating my right to be angry. I didn't mellow out, I never mellowed out for their benefit, like, during the boring house period, for example. I wanted more control of myself, you know, and I wanted to be able to more effectively control the world around me. I wanted to be happier and more productive, so I trained myself to just acknowledge, but not express my anger, until one day I became genuinely calm most of the time. I nearly forgot this lesson during the Cold Boot War. There were times during that conflict in which I expressed such unambiguous and unbridled hatred towards the GNU Boot developers simply for existing. One of them joins the LibreBoot chat room and I simply raged. My intention was to remove them from the movement, not just to destroy their projects. Like, destroying their projects was my main goal. The reason I felt this way is because I felt that they wished to destroy mine, and they continued in their failure to demonstrate otherwise. Zoe's email on February 2025 asking me what I want and agreeing to back off is what ended this. LibreBoot is a major part of my life, a major part of my ego, you could say. I had no intention of controlling them. I just didn't want them controlling me. And because I thought they wanted to control me and just shut all of my stuff down, I decided I'm going to destroy these people. I would have probably failed in the end because people have a nasty habit of never really doing what you say. But, you know, I tried to make their lives hell. I would have just become more extreme. This is principle. You know, I did experience rage some of the time. I was usually calm. I alternated between actual anger and the principle of it. In the latter, I merely applied anger more effectively. Yes, applied anger. It's a concept that I use in my mind. It's a thing. I will behave as though I'm angry, even when I'm calm. The FSF were not necessarily trying to destroy me. They did literally try to steal the LibreBoot name at first, but I don't think they really had me in mind. Like, they were just genuinely hurt by what I did. Like, in extreme cases like this, my mind takes over and I sometimes just project onto others. I treated this like a war games exercise, whereas they just felt hurt. They were just genuinely upset, like, emotionally, seeing me as hostile. Because, you know, I'd, like, from their perspective, destroyed what was their poster child at the time. In this instance, my projection was that the FSF, as I said, were hostile and that they wanted to take everything away from me. No, I wrote that just now, just articulating how I felt. But I knew then, and I know now, that this is also false. This is how my lizard brain felt. But I'm not stupid. I use my feelings as a guide, but I'm not controlled by them. I prefer to use logic. And that's what I did. I knew what I was doing. I knew this would hurt them, and I calculated in advance that they would probably be unsuccessful if they tried to oppose me, just because of how powerful my project was at that point. Like, you just can't. Like, they simply cared about the ideological purity of the movement. Like, there was no, their whole strategy was just pure passion. They had no plan. My objective was not simply to hurt them. I just wanted to help LibreBoot to make it grow further and increase my own standing. I wanted to make more money selling it, for example, and I wanted more people to use LibreBoot. That's my only goal. I didn't really take any stock of their feelings, except insofar as they might dictate any physical action on their part, and I tried, where I could, to anticipate their actions. Well, I was fighting a logistics war. They were fighting a holy war, but I am not holy. So when they later told me that LibreBoot had become proprietary, that this was not an attack on me. It was an expression of genuine pain and hurts, feelings on their part. Like when you offend someone's religion. when they tried to delete the LibreRoot Wikipedia article, they were doing God's, that is, Richard Stallman's, work. They were doing a service to the movement. That's what they thought. Yes. I never feel that kind of loyalty myself, because I'm generally just like pragmatic. I can be a bit eccentric at times. My previous girlfriend and other people from my past told me that it was scary how I could just like seemingly change my opinion, like just like that. This was no different, but this was at an institutional scale. When I created Canoe Boot, or its earlier non-genuine boots precursor, the FSF people didn't want to accept my help. And one of them even gave a very specific reason. They said they wanted to be free from me and my behaviour. They were referring to my seeming eccentric nature, how I could just randomly change opinion and completely remake everything over time. They saw me as chaotic. Richard Stallman himself even once told me that I'm unpredictable. No shit. I mean, to me, though, this is about freedom. Freedom to do as I wanted. I adapt to changing circumstances. The reason I changed LibreRoot's policy is because the project was dead, essentially. It was dying. Because the amount of hardware that LibreRoot could support was getting older and older. It's getting impossible to add new hardware under the ideological restraints that it imposed. And there are various technical reasons for why that is that don't really need to be in this book. It's not really relevant. As I said, this book is psychological in nature, not technical. I created the OS Boot projects, later merging it into LibreRoot, as a pragmatic way of ensuring that everything remained as pure as possible from a free software ideological perspective. But the FSF, though, you know, they're purists. They don't mind having something that's just unviable as long as it's ideologically pure. Richard Stallman even said once that his goal was not for free software to be widely used. His goal was for it to exist. But I was unhappy with this dogma. You know, I believe in free software, but I felt at that time that the FSF's whole opinion was just dragging down the actual viability of the movement as a whole. When you adopt a purist, a fundamentalist position like that, it alienates most people who otherwise like the idea, but they may not be able to fully assimilate to it. One of the people high up in the GNU told me that he was quite upset with the change. He'd previously talked about LibreRoot at conferences, promoting it as a poster child of sorts for the entire movement. That man was Alexandre Oliver, leader of the FSF Latin America, who at one point during the Cold Boot War posted something like this on his homepage on the FSF Latin America website. He said, "Lero is a fake news factory. She made a GNU boot that's not GNU and a LibreRoot that's not LibreRoot." This made me laugh, and I was sad when the message later disappeared. He said that the FSF's initial fork projects was the genuine GNU boot, and GNU is capitalized in the word. Obviously, play on GNU. My initial prank, where before I launched GNU boot, it was the same idea, but I launched it as another project called Non-Genuine Boots, directly parodying his article. I just liked all the attention. You know, it was like 2016. It was exactly the same feeling that I had in 2016, but it was for 2 years, and I was sober the whole time, and I was in charge. You know, it was like just intoxicating. It didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad because these people could always just make their own projects. I mean, it is free software. I talk so like in such Machiavellian terms, but they can do whatever they wanted anyway. They were just incompetent. You know, I was just mad that they tried to replace me instead of just doing their own thing. You know, like they didn't need to come after me. They could have just done their own thing. So to them, it was personal. You know, Oliver himself, he told me it felt like he had a spike in one of his shoes. I did also once submit Canoe Boot to the GNU project, proposing that it replace GNU Boot. And this was a genuine proposal. I wasn't worried about them taking it over because I literally just didn't care. Like, it was just a thing I did. They told me, though, that, again, they couldn't trust me. You know, the pain from some of the earlier conflicts and just portrayals in general is just too much. You know, I literally don't understand when people feel this way because I genuinely did want to actually submit it. Like, I understand the concept of credibility from an intellectual perspective, but the emotion behind it, I don't feel that myself. Like, I actually get annoyed when people, like, because I can change. People talk about, like, change. You know, change takes a long time. Change in me takes 1 second because I can just choose a different opinion. And I'll elaborate on this in later chapters in the book. Anyway, my main goal, though, as I said, was to get rid of GNU boots. Like, they were a threat to my supremacy. They were a threat to my work. The reason I created GNU boot was just to dilute their power base, because I didn't want them to become powerful at an ideological level within the movement, because then they'd be an even bigger threat. As I alluded to in this book, I wanted to control the truth. I understood them well enough to beat them, and I'd do it again if I had to. I was proud when I beat them. I was the villain in their eyes, and I prevailed. You know, I felt like I was like a Star Wars villain or something, just like taking over the world. And I laughed accordingly. I'm not joking. Like, I regularly laughed. Like, I actually laughed regularly like a maniac on the LibreBoot chat room. I did not hide my disdain or any of my contempt. I was openly maniacal the whole time. Several of my friends enjoyed it immensely. Most people stayed quiet, though, because, like, normal people, like, most people hate conflicts. They'll just, like, shy away from it. So a lot of people just avoided, like, both projects during this time. There was even one person in particular who listened to me in the FSF who tried in vain to, like, broker a peace deal between us. And this made me laugh as well, because, like, I wasn't having any of it. I just wanted to win. You know, I just wanted to crush the FSF. Like, that's how I felt. I just felt good about it. You know, the thrill, the rush, the hunt. I felt bored afterwards. After I won, you know, like, I just generally thrive in chaos. Like, having a really good enemy to sink my teeth into just makes me feel alive. It gives me focus. You know, using my anger like that gives me focus. The FSF is in a worse position now, because the end result still left them using my own software, but they have less power ideologically than they had before, because people saw how incompetent they were, and, you know, they're just, like, beaten. I specifically identified my victory as being, I reduced them to a level where the emotional cost of fighting me again would deter any such future conflicts, because they would remember the pain. They will remember the stress and think twice. The fact that GNU boot exists as well would make it just politically impossible, which is why GNU boot exists. GNU boot was made to replace GNU boots. I brokered the truce with them via GNU boots, not out of remorse or regrets. I wanted them to stop opposing me, so I gave them permission. I'd previously been such a bastard to them that they just kept going anyway, even when it was all hopeless. I reduced them until surrender. Marketed as a truce was the only viable option. I let them save face, and they let me continue doing whatever I want without consequence. A former friend who works for the FSF summarized the whole affair in one word, which was sent to me without context in a private message, but I knew what it meant. The message only said, "Welp." I wrote this chapter as though it was a war diary, because my mind saw this period in relatively combative terms, territorial on an intellectual level. Most people who engaged in this period, they just found it funny. Like, when I relayed this story condensed at my FOSDEM 2026 talk, one of the organisers laughed at the end as I packed up my things. Several people in the audience also laughed. At the time of these events, most comments online, like, during the height of it, most of the comments online, when people... people were mostly just making fun of the FSF, or me. When making fun of me, they would say things like, "This is top shelf shitposting, and I'm all for it," or, "This is a level of pettiness that all Arch Linux users should aspire to. Leah Rowe is my hero," stated ironically in this context. "Leah Rowe is not the sort of person you want as your enemy. This is why we can't have nice things in Linux." Serious but not serious. I mean, the whole thing was a wash. But, you know, I got my kicks. My actual anger was starting to wane again in this period. I felt relaxed. You know, especially as my financial situation was stable then. This entire period was highly productive for me on a professional level. I write about this in such sensational terms. But despite all of the chaos, the entire period just saw rapid growth. I grew a lot intellectually during this period. A lot more people joined the LibreBoot projects, and I just had control of everything. I actually don't experience control of others anymore as something to generally strive for. I mean, I still do, but I know how to delegate. You know, like, I've always known in a professional context that delegation is good, because you use people more effectively and you get more done. I mean, this is just common sense. When I speak of control, I speak only about controlling myself. I want to have my own intellectual sovereignty, if you will. This is actually how I refer to it in my mind. A lot of people who don't understand that concept, but that's really what this whole period was about. I'd done the hard work, taking back control of everything, especially since the earlier 2021 period, but this period was about consolidation. When I feel like I'm secure, that all threats against me are eliminated or otherwise contained, my instinct is to simply relax and start focusing inward. It's not so much that I want to control others. I want to control myself, and I respond against threats to that more than anything else. Perhaps some readers may understand the nuance here. I felt at this late stage... I felt at this late stage that I could finally relax. My anger subsided, and I could just focus on whatever I wanted. I felt free, but because I no longer had anyone breathing down my neck, not even the FSF. That's the main part. That's the main aspect to all of this. I wanted to be free from external authority. I finally got rid of it. I finally just got rid of all the obstacles between me and my goals, whatever they may be. I didn't even have any. Like, why would I? I would have got Libra Boot. I just improved Libra Boots incrementally in ways that I can. It uses Core Boot, and the goal of Libra Boot is to support everything that Core Boot supports. So not much planning was needed. We basically just add whatever we want. I regularly gloated about my freedom, laughing at the FSF and for their seeming incompetence. I specifically identified that I'd suffered a complete lack of consequence for any and all of my past actions. To me, it felt like I'd completely reset everything and taken over the world, my Libra Boot world. I still knew that Libra Boot is a relatively niche project, and that, you know, most normal people don't really care about it. I don't care about normal people. You know, I cared about my world. I didn't take over the world. I took over my world. I was in charge, and that was the main goal. There's nothing to say. I just wanted to be in charge. I'm also a sore winner. I had, quote-unquote, won the war long before it ended. Basically, the start of 2024 marks a period of control, of total control for me. Like, the actual, like, Cold Boot War only lasted during 2023. It went on 2024, 2025, because I extended it. The FSF's own project was in complete disarray. It was clear that I had won. Like, their project was dead. I still kept attacking them, knowing that they were no longer a threat. I just didn't want to stop the fight, because I enjoyed the fight itself. The thrill, the hunt. Once a hunt's over, I'm lost, and I need to stimulate myself again some other way. You know, that's really one of the problems with me when I encounter huge conflicts like that. I'm usually quite calm and productive, but then I encounter a threat and I become more productive. But once it all ends, it's kind of like post-mortem depression or something. It's the closest. I've never experienced post-mortem depression myself. I've experienced post-surgical depression after I had my gender reassignment surgery. It's kind of like that. You know, once you're in the thick of it, and then you like come out of it, and you're like depressed afterwards because you're like, what now? The fact that I'm a sore winner also means that I spiral, as I said, as I've just alluded to, after a major success in general. I'm like this when I do a Libra Boot release afterwards. I'm like this when I do a Libra Boot release, for example. I just feel really low afterwards. It's sort of like, as I say, yeah, I mean, it's like post-mortem depression, as I said. I'm the sort of person who always needs a challenge, and this has always been the case. I thrive when I have a well-defined challenge, and this was one of the most politically and technically challenging periods of my life. Like, I can't even describe in writing how insane this period was on a technical level. The amount of technical work that was done to LibreRoot was insane. I also regard it as having been this is one of the most fun periods of my life. Like, most of it was just spent obsessively auditing the source code of LibreRoot and various projects, optimizing and cleaning up code everywhere, and just making things better. A lot of the things that I worked on would seem incredibly petty to most people. I'm basically just a massive control freak and a perfectionist. My controlling tendencies come out strongly in my own work, as that's where I channel them. I channel these tendencies into my work. This applies not just to Libra Boot, but to like electronics projects, for example, or works of art that I've produced. I often take longer to do something at a, near 100% level of perfection instead of just tolerating something weaker. It's a strength and a weakness, because in some cases it can mean that I lose sight of everything else. But, you know, it also means that I produce very high quality work for the work that I do. I say my work is of high quality based not only on my own biased point of view. A lot of people tell me that I do really good work. I'm just highly competent in my own field. I demand the same standards for everyone else who works under me. Like, if you're going to do anything, you should do it right. You know, or fuck off. Anyway. That's all I have to say.